Hey, praise the Lord. I'm Pastor Jesse Rich. Honored, delighted, and glad you tuned in today. Let's throw our Bibles over here to Mark chapter 11. Now, Jesus said here in verse 23, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever saith this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall whatsoever saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them." Now, we all want these two verses to work for us every time we use them. And with Mark 11, 23, you're to believe that what you say will come to pass. This is why it's important that we don't lie. Not only lying is a sin, we don't lie because it affects our faith. Because if you got to believe in your words. And if you lie, then you really won't believe in your words because you know you've lied and your conscience is going to bother you. And then with this verse 24, this is this prayer of faith. Now, this is where sometimes ministers get kind of confused in this area. And they thought, well, you know, that you should just keep asking God for the same thing over and over again. Kind of like the lady went to the unjust judge or whatever. Well, those are scriptural examples that Jesus gave us. But God's not unjust. And you're not going to wear God down. He's never going to change. He's the same. He said no, he said no. You know, did you have that kind of dad? Once dad said no, it was no. Or did you have a kind of a modern day dad? You know, well, you know, keep working on it. Maybe he'll eventually let me use the car. As far as I know, my dad wasn't that way. But anyway, God's not unjust. So Jesus taught us in this prayer of faith, the prayer of faith. Now, there's other kinds of prayer. You want to use the word if, use that when you don't know direction from God. And you're trying to discern what God wants you to do. I mean, you already got the answer in your spirit. You're just trying to get it clear. So God, if it's your will, I'll do this. But if not, you know, I'll do that. So what are you doing? Well, you're waiting on God to hear in your spirit about what to do. That's like a prayer of consecration, dedication. The prayer of faith in Mark 11, 24, and James chapter 1 talked about, and chapter 5, this is you believe, you receive it when you pray. So with this prayer, before you go into it, you want to make up your mind and fill your heart with God's word so you know that what you're praying for is scriptural, and then when you pray this prayer, you're going to believe you receive it. It's sort of like the prayer of agreement. Someone's going to agree with you in prayer. Well, you're expecting them to believe with you that when you say amen, it's done. See, not every Christian is going to be able to agree with you. Some of them don't think you should have it, and they're not too sure if it's God's will, and on and on and on and on. So, you know, you want to be led by your spirit about who you go to. But Jesus went on to say here, and when you stand praying, forgive. Now, of all the times Jesus mentioned anything about faith, here's something he brought up in the Gospels. It's important to forgive. And act like you forgave him. See, listen to your mouth what it says about other people. It's important to forgive them and love them and not talk against them in Jesus' name. See, love, faith works by love, and you got to love people by faith. You can't be, love has nothing to do with your feelings. It's not an emotional thing. It's of your spirit. And see, if you base it on your emotions, you base it on your feelings, you won't walk in a God kind of love. You'll walk in human love. And you know, Jane and Joe Sinner have human love. But the born-again child of God, according to Romans 5:5, has the love of God shed abroad in their heart by the Holy Ghost. And that love is God's love. God is love. And he loves everybody. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, not walking the love can hinder faith. And you're definitely going to use your faith to believe God for your healing or to believe God to walk in divine health and your prosperity and your prayers to be answered. And judging others gets you in trouble. Because the way you judge others is going to be judged back to you. So start listening to your mouth. Because when you judge others, the same thing that you judge them with is going to come back to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge ye not, lest you also be judged. Now, that was real sobering when I first heard that. And it kind of really registered on me, thinking, whoa, this is real serious here. And see, it's important that we also, you know, don't let our body have its way, our flesh. Remember Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9, but I keep under my body. And bring a subjection. At least by any means I preach to others, I myself should be cast away. So sometimes some of the biggest losses came to our life is because we disobeyed God and didn't do what God told us to do. We got ourselves over in disobedience. And that's an area there where Satan's just got like open season on you. He's just waiting for you, you know, to get out in some situation where there's no divine protection. So it's important that we always make sure that we walk in love. That we don't judge others, and we keep our body under, our flesh under. See, our flesh wants to do what it wants to do, and if it doesn't want to do it, it just doesn't want to do it. I mean, flesh doesn't want to fast. It doesn't want to pray. It doesn't want to give its favorite toy away or whatever it is. When the Spirit of God begins to move on your heart. One time I had this painting somebody had given me. I don't know anything about paintings. And somebody gave me a painting. And in my apartment, I didn't have much of the time. So I was kind of, well, I guess I was kind of proud of that painting. I want to make sure that when people came into the house or my apartment, they saw that. You know, I displayed it someplace, you know, where they will make sure they'd see that. Hopefully they'd comment about it. Well, one day there was this people over at my house, and it just came to my heart, give this painting to them. Well, could I give something else? And see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 11, that God teaches us, if we sow bountifully, reap bountifully. The Amplified says, He loves and prizes above other things a prompt to do it giver, whose heart is in His giving. Okay, now I got the prompt to do it test here. I can give it right now. It's one of the most valuable, you know, physical things in my apartment. But you know, everything else, you know. So I got this painting, and it just came to my heart, give it to them. Well, I tried to ignore it, and finally they ended up leaving, and I didn't give it to them. And they went on to, you know, travel around the country. I don't know if there's ministers who they were, recall now, but I didn't do it. Well, so it just seemed like instantly that painting lost value to me. And I don't think anybody else, I think it gets so annoyed people, it was on the wall instead of they liked it. Well, one day I just put it in the trash, put it out there by the garbage cans for, you know, apartment place that had dumpsters. And I stuck it out by the garbage cans, and here that morning, the garbage trucks come, and I thought, boy, wait till these garbage men, they see this picture. They're going to take this home with them. So they came up, and they grabbed the cans. They threw the cans, the trash is in the cans, in the back of the truck. And one of the garbage guys, you know, he lifted up the picture and showed it to the other guy, and they both just kind of looked at it, and they threw it in the back of the truck. Well, it was worse than trash. It was just, as, you know, the same value as my garbage. The time to give it was when God dealt with me about giving. That had been a good seed to sow. But I disobeyed God. Now, does God forgive you? Does God still love you? Well, of course. But you see, you missed an opportunity there, or I did. Now, we need to learn to go by those promptings and instantly obey, because later on it's going to save your life. If you know you're not supposed to park your car here, but you're going to do it anyway, that can cost you. It's cost many people. Many, you know, the reason a person got killed, they didn't listen to God. They didn't go by what they had in their spirit. They ignored it. And see, the amazing thing about this is, you remember Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, for as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that's so important to always make sure our heart, our spirit man is our heart. See, God looks in our heart. He looks in our spirit. He sees our motive and intent. And He'll start dealing with you things. I've noticed this, you know, that He deals with you not to be around somebody. Well, then your mind kicks in and thought, well, they're a Christian. And, you know, I'm no better than they are. And on and on and on. You remember, it's like when your parents told you not to play with someone and you couldn't figure out why at all. I mean, he was a nice guy. My mom had a gift that she knew exactly who I shouldn't be with. And she was 100% right, as far as I remember, on that area. But many times I didn't listen to my mom. And those people talked me into doing stuff, or those guys talked me into doing stuff that I should never have done and got me in trouble. I don't know if they ever got in trouble over it, but it sure cost me a lot. It cost me physically and health-wise. In many other areas, loss of other friends, relationships hindered. It's the same with Christian life. You have the sense of your spirit. You're not supposed to be with someone. You know, they're just, and you think they're a great person, and now you're going to reason it out, and your mind will talk you out, and your flesh of obeying what you got in your spirit. See, many times that when I made the wrong decision, I listened to my head. I already had it in my heart what to do or not to do. Now, just because you obey what you got in your spirit doesn't mean this thing's going to be a cakewalk, because you're still going to have to believe God. Even if you walk in God's perfect will, you're still going to appropriate the promise of God. But you get out of God's will, you lose your... First thing goes out the door is your divine protection, divine health, because you can't protect yourself. And you'll notice that by not doing those little promptings they seem to have in your heart, like give that picture away, and then next thing you know, it's something else. The next thing you know, it's something else. And they start accumulating. Well, the more you disobey God, the easier, if you don't make the correction, the easier it is the next time not to obey God. And many times that costs a person their life prematurely. Satan was able to come in and kill them. And other people just kind of, You know, they can't figure out why. Why'd that happen to brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so? Well, we don't judge anyone. We leave that all alone. We don't let the devil take us down that path. But we know from God's word that there is divine protection. And with the born-again child of God, walking in love, walking in obedience to God, then you got divine protection because you're dwelling in a secret place most high, and you've got divine protection. The angel Lord camps around about you. You won't even dash your foot against a stone. See, there's been so much accidents and sickness and disease that people got to place in them as the church, as the body of Christ, don't believe the promises. And they get to think, well, that promise couldn't mean that. You know, like you read about Peter healing in 1 Peter 2:24, whose own self bare our sins, his own body in the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live in righteousness, by whose stripes you're healed. Now, the body of Christ believes the first part, that Jesus took our sins. Even though they may still have a sin conscience, they believe Jesus took our sins. But no way in the world they believe that Jesus took our sickness diseases, because they still expect that God doesn't always heal. And we're trying to get God to heal sister, you know, sister so-and-so. Well, thank God we're praying for her healing, but actually it's not, you know, we got to work on her receiving more than we're trying to get work on God sending it. And I think many times we're working on God sending it instead of working on her receiving it. How are we going to help her receive it? Teach her the word. Let her know what the word says. Encourage her. Pray with her. Stand with her. Keep reading scriptures to her. Let her know it's already been paid for. It's already been bought. You know, we're not trying to talk God into the notion of saving someone. He was in the notion long before he sent Jesus. That's why he sent Jesus. It's not, oh, God save so-and-so. Oh, God save so-and-so. No, what we need to do is, God, we just bring so-and-so to you. In the name of Jesus, we ask you to send laborers across their path. Because you said in your word, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, he will send forth the laborers in harvest. So what we do, scripturally, we pray that God sends laborers across. Now God's got something to work with. God's not willing that any should perish, but all come to know Jesus Christ. He proved that because he gave us Jesus. So many big losses came to our life simply because we were disobeying God and didn't make a judgment call, didn't correct it. Well, now Jesus took my sins. Well, you still need to own up to you did wrong. And make the judgment there. See, if you just keep going down that path and don't make that change, it's going to hurt you. Because you're getting placed to the devil. And Satan's just looking for a way to get in. You know, he won't miss the opportunity. Whenever he gets a chance to attack you, he'll do it. And obedience is your defense against Satan's attack. That you can just boldly say with utmost confidence, I did what God told me to do. You know, here in 1 John chapter 3, let's go over here in 1 John chapter 3. Now the scripture says here, beginning in verse 20, if our heart condemneth us, God is greater than heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, our heart condemneth not, then we have confidence towards God. The whatsoever we ask, we receive him, because we keep his commandments to do those things that please his sight. And this is the commandment, we should believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment. Well, what's the commandment he gave us? To believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and love one another. Well, if your heart condemns you, there's a reason for it. And you don't want to sear your conscience. You want your conscience to always be tender before the Lord. And when you get to the place that you don't love one person, it'd be easier not to love somebody else. But once you can forgive somebody, you can forgive anybody else. So the Lord will deal with you about, you know, people that you're not supposed to be around, situations you're not supposed to be in. See, just like when you was a kid, your friends could get you in trouble when you was a child. Your Christian friends can get you in trouble if you listen to them and you don't listen to what you got in your spirit. Because you begin to pick up. Maybe you sense God wants you to move, well, or whatever. Well, as you pray, and you need to make sure you get pray this through till you know for sure in your spirit, this is exactly what God wants you to do. Now, once they find out about this, they're going to bring up all kinds of questions. But the Bible says, avoid foolish questions, for they do not strive. We're almost out of time today. I want to encourage you to get in our seminars we got coming up. First of all, we got our church services every weekend in Jesus' name. But the week of Thanksgiving, we got our New England Thanksgiving Revival, Sunday through Saturday, two services a day, 10:30 a.m., 7 p.m., November the 22nd through the 28th. And then the month of December, we got our Word of Faith seminar in New Haven, Connecticut. And right there at Yale Campus, the Omni Hotel. And that's December 9th, 10th, 11th, two services a day, 10:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. And then the week of Christmas, That week of Christmas in Farmington, Connecticut, Farmington Marriott. Two services a day, December the 21st to the 26th. You get this on our website. If you get our newsletter, it's in your newsletter. If you're not getting our newsletter, you need to get it. Write us today by writing Jesse Rich Ministries, Post Office Box 237170, New York, New York, 10023. Enjoyed being with you. Until next time, I want to encourage you. You stay in God's Word. Keep yourself built up, praying in tongues. Remember, Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.